Under a sunlit sky, rows of gravestones line a green lawn. Titles appear. Kirk Cameron as Will Loomis in A Little Piece of Heaven, starring Cloris Leachman as Edwina McKevin, Jenny Robertson as Violet Loomis, Ron McClarty as Jack Daniels, Chelsea Noble as Carrie Lee. Now, on a dirt path running alongside the cemetery, a young dark-haired man walks with an old man. A young woman takes wide steps in front of them.
Dad, if I'm going to be a pig farmer, then I don't have to go to college.
But you'd be a better pig farmer if you did, Will.
I just don't know what I want to do. You know, I mean, I want to do something that I like. But I really want to do something that's good. You know, like for the world.
What you have in mind?
I don't know yet. You're always telling me to listen to my heart. And sometimes I just can't hear what it says.
The girl runs off. The men smile at each other. Now Violet crouches near a gravestone reading Winnell Loomis, beloved wife and mother.
I forgot to tell you something.
As she puts her clenched hand to her mouth, her eyebrows raise.
I ate 2 whole pieces of Will's birthday cake. Will has 18 now, but Papa says I'm still the oldest because I have 22. I love you, Mama. I miss you. I can still smell you on your chair.
Her mouth curls in a tight frown. She rests her hand on her chin, then lowers it and shrugs. Now she rides in the bed of the truck as her father drives.
I have an idea. What if we built a huge man-made lake, and then we got some of those ski boat things, you know, and had like a country recreation area?
You know, Will, that may very well be a good idea. And if you can get some kind of business degree, and then if you want to open Will's World or whatever, you can.
More titles. Written by Betty Goldberg. Directed by Mimi Leader. This program has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH with funding from the U.S. Department of Education. Described by Alice Austin and Allison White. Read by Chloe Lehman. Now, the truck drives down a narrow dirt road running through farmland. It passes over train tracks, then slows and turns into the driveway of a large red house with a wide front porch. As it pulls to a stop, Violet leaps out of the truck and races toward the front of the house. Holding the edge of her dress in her hands, she runs stiff-legged to the front door and peers inside.
Nobody's here.
Hey, maybe they all got homes.
Violet walks inside.
Dad, why do people treat the kids so bad?
I don't know, son.
Inside a large front room, drawings hang on walls and craft supplies sit on a table. Will's father approaches a couch where a gray-haired woman sleeps.
Ed? Edwina?
She opens her eyes.
I never thought you slept.
I didn't used to.
I got new Oxford shoe saddles.
We got the chicken feet on the truck. I'll bring it around back.
Come on up.
Violet holds Edwina tightly as they follow her father outside.
I fought as hard as I could, but they say there's no more state funds. No more Hamlin House. They're closing us the end of the year. I haven't told the children.
Hey, got anything loaded up in the shed?
State's closing the Hamlin, Will.
Oh, wow. Well, what's going to happen to all the kids?
Most likely, though, he transferred to a place called the Raskin Facility. In my French, more like a hellhole.
Come on, Violet, let's go.
Come on.
Nighttime. Inside a farmhouse, Violet pedals an exercise bike while her father reads. Her saddle shoes hang from the handlebars.
Many of the massive towers have known famous unwilling guests. Elizabeth I, when a princess, was imprisoned 2 months in Bell Tower. Sir Walter Raleigh spent much of his 13 years imprisonment in Bloody Tower.
where the little princes Edward V and his brother, the Duke of York, were murdered in 1483.
Will enters,
and
reading
their
a magazine.
Uncle, who became Richard III, is believed by some historian.
Hey, did you know that when an elephant herd finds an orphan calf, they don't always adopt the lost baby?
Nope. Never knew that.
Does that mean if Will would have been an elephant, he wouldn't have got adopted?
No way. They would have adopted me no matter what, because I was so cute.
Don't forget the feeders, first thing. And get up when the alarm rings. I'm not dragging you out of bed again, Will.
As yes, Will leaves, Violet stops pedaling.
Thought you wanted to stay in shape.
I do.
Pedal.
Now, inside a barn, Will faces a large pig in one of the pens.
What I'd like to know is why everyone is always saying that stuff about life being better the older you get. I mean, most of the guys that I know have already turned 18, and they don't seem so much better to me. In fact, when I think about it, I'd say they've all gone kind of weird. All right, now take Jim Rogers, for instance. He's perfectly cool until Elaine Hempstead starts flirting with him. Next thing you know, the guy won't even go bowling.
Violet enters.
Pigs can't talk!
Vi, come on, you're supposed to be helping Dad.
I got bored, so me and Charlotte took a walk.
Charlotte and I.
Yeah. I have a question.
Okay, shoot.
Well, Charlotte and I got back from a walk, but we couldn't find Dad. But then we did. He was asleep in the truck. How come Pawpaw's sleeping in the back of the truck?
Will's eyes widen and his lips part.
Dad.
He pulls open the pig pen gate and races out of the barn. Now, Will, Violet, and a group of mourners stand around a wooden casket.
Some say the world is not a fair place. I've heard children say it. A few old men say it. But I never once believed it. I always believed that every leaf on every tree, every tear on every cheek has a purpose. And that purpose has been assigned by God in His wonder. The passing of Cecil Loomis has changed my mind. I believe God tried to make a fair world, but the forces of evil were so strong and so many, God had to make something else. God made good people. The world didn't turn out fair, so God made Cecil Loomis to raise a son who was not his own at birth, to raise a daughter different from the rest of us, to be educated, productive, and an asset to her community. The world didn't turn out fair, so God made Cecil Loomis. And today the world seems even less fair because Cecil is no longer with us.
Now in a barn, Will runs his hand along the hood of a camper. A pulled back tarp sits draped on its roof. As he rounds the truck, Violet faces him with her hands in her coat pockets.
You're not allowed to drive Papa's camper.
Will casts his gaze downward and shakes his head. Reaching up, he pulls the tarp down over the front of the camper. Now, inside the house, Violet stands on a stool wearing a princess costume. Will snips the hem of her long dress.
There.
I look like real fairy princess.
Yes, you do. Okay, now remember, only three farms.
As she leaves with the trick-or-treat bag, her large brown and white dog follows. Will pauses in the doorway, gazing into his parents' bedroom.
Waiting, Will!
Okay.
Now, Violet stares at a world map as she rides on the exercise bike.
So enormous, the entire army could hide inside of it. And the Trojan horse was presented as a gift and rolled into the center of the city square. That's how the army was able to surprise the enemy and win the war.
And so the city of Paris was named after a prince who kidnapped a lady named Helen.
Smiling, Violet gazes at the map. Will leans back in his chair and blinks. Violet stops pedaling. Lifting her feet off the pedals, she leans forward on the handlebars and fingers the lace on one of her saddle shoes. Now at their festively decorated kitchen table, Will and Violet push food around on their plates. On the table, a turkey sits on a platter. Violet faces the dog, then turns to Will. Will looks at his sister.
Shoot.
That's gotta. I haven't seen Mama and Papa.
She smiles expectantly at Will. He stares downward, resting his head on his hand, then looks up.
We can't.
He gazes at Violet, then looks down at his food. Violet takes a bite of food, then grits her teeth. Now, outside near a pig pen.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing Miss Violet Loomis, assisting her brother with the chores. Oh, boy. Very good color on you, Miss Loomis.
He slips yellow rubber gloves onto her hands.
You know how?
She nods.
You need any help?
Smiling, she shakes her head.
Okay. There you go.
He hands her a spade, then walks back to the barn. Violet turns to the pen and reaches through its wooden slats. She scoops slop from a feeding trough. Will watches her from the barn's doorway. Violet grimaces, then pours the slop onto the ground. She shrugs, then sees Will and motions for him to leave. As she takes another scoopful, it snaps toward her, and the slimy brown liquid flings onto her raincoat. She rears back. Gripping the coat, she shakes it fiercely, then glances at the barn. She shrugs and scoops again. The slop falls onto her white tights. Violet jumps up and down, flailing her arms wildly. Will runs out and eases her to the ground. He pulls off her soiled boot.
Okay. I'm sorry, Violet.
He holds her as she rocks back and forth.
I know.
I want Papa.
I know.
Now at a drugstore, Violet sits at an ice cream counter. Slowly, she lifts a long-stemmed maraschino cherry from the top of a sundae. She dangles it near her forehead, then slowly moves it toward her mouth. She bites it off the stem, then smiles at the woman behind the counter.
Nice start.
Now at the pharmacy counter.
You know, if you need anything, even if it's just some company, you just give us a call.
Okay, thanks. Have you spoken with Edwina lately?
Oh, yeah. It's pretty bad out there. They're closing down Hamlin House, and they're forcing Edwina to retire. But those bureaucrats are still sending kids to her. They've got a juvenile delinquent from Chicago coming in tomorrow. At least I think she said tomorrow. Yep. Poor boy has got no father. The mother is in jail on that crack business, and he has run away from every shelter that he's been in.
Well, if they're closing down the Hamlin House, then why are they sending her a new kid?
Oh, I can't say. But I do know that Edwina's got a broken heart about sending any of her young people over to that Raskin place. She told me that she would send them just about anywhere but there. Now, Will, you got to be careful with these. This is a very powerful sedative. If she tantrums again, then you've got to give them to her according to her weight.
Behind Will, a thin woman pushes a stroller toward the counter. Next to her, a dark-haired little girl frowns.
All right.
Refill. No child cap thing. I can't open them. Hazel, I do not want to have to tell your daddy.
Well, you said I can have the Valerina calendar.
I changed my mind.
Please, Mama, please let me have it. I want it. It's mine. Please.
The woman takes a calendar from a bag and tears it in half. She throws it to the floor, then slaps the girl across the face.
Something to cry about.
Will watches the girl cover her face with her hands. He glances at the woman behind the ice cream counter, then turns back to the little girl. He walks toward the counter where Violet eats her sundae.
This is good.
They moved into that old farm by the river. Name is Olander. Always slapping at her kids.
Well, do you think that the moon gets full because it's too many stars?
It's possible, Violet. I guess just about anything is possible.
Violet looks at Will, then turns back to her sundae. Nighttime. As Violet kneels by her bed, Will sits behind her.
Dear God, please bless Grandpa and Grandma Loomis Grandpa and Grandma Sutton and Will, my brother, and Papa and Mama.
Will starts to stand.
And God, I think Christmas is going to be bad because Will and me are alone. So please make Christmas not so bad. And God, I could help Will more if you would unstick my age. A woman and a man.
She takes off her plastic beaded necklace, then climbs into bed. Will leans over and pulls up her blanket. Violet smiles as her brother kisses her forehead.
I'll see you in the morning.
He smiles, then turns off the light and leaves. Violet turns her head on the pillow, hugging a stuffed doll. Now, Will watches television.
The statistics are mind-boggling. Approximately every 13 seconds in our nation, a child under the age of 18 is beaten, sexually molested, or otherwise abused by its parents or caretakers. So it would seem then that Haley Owens is not alone. Today, 4 days after she was nearly beaten to death and abandoned in a trash can, Haley stopped being a baby girl and became a statistic, joining the ranks of thousands just like her. One wonders if it will ever be possible to make laws to teach people to understand enough about themselves and the people they love to make heaven on earth more than just an expression. Perhaps the answer lies in each and every one of us to ask ourselves as individuals, what can I do?
Will blinks thoughtfully.
David Nichols.
What can I do?
Fade to black. Now, the Loomis's pickup truck pulls into a dirt driveway, passing under a sign that reads Hamlin House. As Will parks the truck, Violet gets out and runs toward the house.
Can we stay very long?
Yeah, we'll see.
Will steps out and closes the door. He walks to the front of the truck and pauses, looking at the house, then walks inside. Inside, Edwina sets the table as two young boys color on napkins. Another boy sets out silverware. As Will approaches, Edwina faces him.
Staying for supper?
Will gazes off, resting his hands in his pockets.
Got a woman on your mind?
Oh, no.
So you got something against women?
No.
I stay for supper.
As she leads him to another room, she picks up a stray pillow and tosses it out of the way. Now, in an office, a blonde woman reads a file.
Will Loomis, meet Janet Burke, assigned by the state to assist the children in their transition from Hamlin House to the hellhole.
Pardon me.
Raskin facility.
Hi. I'm going to church for a meeting after dinner.
You're not going to be here?
Not tonight. Janet will watch the fort. You're not afraid I'm going to leave the children alone, are you?
I understand the Hamlin House is a special place for you.
Yeah, I was adopted from here.
Since the day he was born, he's been one of my most favorite people. Will and his sister Violet will be joining us for supper.
Will and Edwina leave.
Don't mind her. She goes by the book, but she's not all terrible.
Now they walk upstairs.
Got two squeaky beds, a clogged sink, and, your after-dinner job was a jammed file cabinet, which Miss Transition needs to get into.
Will's eyes shift thoughtfully. Later, he stands by an open drawer, squinting at a file.
All right, how much does this kid weigh?
Janet enters with a slice of green cake. He turns.
An experiment with food color. I think it was Cassandra.
Thanks. I've had her cakes. Edwina mentioned that there might be a new kid coming in tonight. I thought that if I had some time, I might check his bed for squeaks or whatever.
That's very sweet.
Yeah, she just forgot to tell me which room he'd be in.
Well, the only empty one right now, 5C. You have a little time because the worker transporting called over an hour ago and said they got caught behind an overturned truck.
Miss Burke, come on.
Well, there's my cue. See you.
Okay.
As she leaves, Will looks at the file. Janet walks back in.
Don't forget your plate.
He hides the file and nods. She leaves and he picks it back up.
Oh, wow, you're a skinny kid.
Will places the folder back in the drawer. Glancing over his shoulder, he takes a wadded-up tissue from his pocket. Opening it, he takes out a blue pill and places it on top of the file cabinet. Reaching into his pocket again, he pulls out a foil-wrapped parcel. Now, with the end of a small screwdriver, he crushes the pill into a powder. Unwrapping the foil, he presses the blue powder onto a brownie. He folds a piece of brownie over the powder and wraps it up. He stuffs it into his pocket, then blows the remaining powder off the cabinet. Closing the drawer, he picks up an oil can and leaves. Now, Will approaches a bedroom doorway. He pauses, glancing around, then walks inside. He takes out the wrapped brownie. Placing the oil can under his arm, he sets the brownie down on a bed. On top of it, he places a note reading, "Don't tell." He covers it with a blanket. Now, Edwina sits with a group of children.
Came rolling home.
All right, people, what is the news of the day?
Yes. I cleared my demerits.
Yes, you finally did, Gregory. I'm so proud of the example you set. Now, this evening's quote is by a man named Goethe, who said, "Whatever you can do or dream you can, begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it."
Will listens.
Think about it while you brush and floss your teeth. Sleep tight, everybody. Bye-bye.
You gotta do your teeth.
Now at the Loomis' house, Violet lies in bed awake. She holds her doll close, her fingers stroking its yarn hair. Will opens the door and slowly approaches Violet's bed. He leans down over her.
I wish we lived at Hamlin House.
Why?
For friends.
Violet, you're not going to be lonely anymore.
She meets his gaze.
You won't have to help me with the chores either. And Christmas might not even be so bad. Honor bright.
She touches Will's hand with hers, then looks away distantly.
I want to go to heaven, see Papa, Mama.
Tears fill her eyes. Will lifts his hand and strokes the side of Violet's cheek. He leaves. Now, the Loomis' truck drives along a dark country road. Passing over railroad tracks, it comes to a stop near a swing set and slide on the far side of a yard. As the headlights turn off, Will steps out of the driver's seat and closes the door. Holding onto a rolled-up Afghan, Will sprints across the dark yard. As he approaches the Hamlin house, he backs against the wall. He glances around, then cups his hands around his lips and opens his mouth. Will glances around, then throws a rock at the window of a shed. He backs against the wall as chickens fly out of the broken window and into the yard. Children wearing pajamas pile out through a door on the corner from Will. As Janet and the kids chase the chickens, Will stands against the wall undetected. Will edges past them and into the house. Inside, he races up a dark staircase and pauses in the upstairs hallway. Our view scans through the doorways of the bedrooms. Will walks into one bedroom where crumpled sheets lie atop two empty beds. Glancing around, he walks into another room. In one bed, a small figure lies covered by the bedsheet. Will glances at it, then approaches the window. He pulls back the curtain. On the ground below, Janet and the kids chase the chickens into the coop. Will runs to the occupied bed and pulls back the sheet. Underneath, a dark-skinned boy sleeps.
You're black.
Gaping, he stares at the boy, then searches the bedding. He pulls out the empty brownie wrapper and note from under the sheet and puts them in his pocket.
I mean, that's okay, but I can't take you. I mean, I was going to tell everyone that you were a long-lost cousin or something.
He glances at the window, then back at the boy.
It's just that I could give you a good home. And Edwina said that you're going to be transferred to some terrible place. And I promised Violet. I said honor bright. It's fine, but you're black.
He pulls the boy's sheet back and lays the Afghan on top of him. Slinging a backpack over his shoulder, he scoops the boy into his arms. A stack of baseball cards lies on the pillow. Now with Janet and Edwina.
I did a head count after we came back inside from chasing the chickens. How could I have forgotten him? He runs away. He is a runaway. He's been written here 50 times.
Good morning, Hammond House. Orville, you're finally back. Yes, that is correct. Yes, the deputy is correct. Yes. His color should keep him from getting too far in the community.
Any sign of him?
Well, we'll see you soon. Mm-hmm.
She shakes her head.
Oh, Edwina, I'm so sorry.
Edwina fingers the stack of baseball cards as Janet leaves. Fade to black. Now in the Loomis' kitchen.
So now you'll have someone to play with, and I'll have more help with the chores.
Violet rocks in her chair.
Oh, come on, it's a good thing, Vi. He needs a home, and we have one to give him.
How come you've got a boy?
But it's not like I had a choice. I mean, he was the new arrival at Hamlin House.
You stole him from the Hamlin House? Oh,
wait. The other kids never even met him. They were asleep when he got there. And his file says that he always runs away. So they'll just think that he ran away again.
Will grasps Violet's clenched hands.
Come on, Violet. If this works out, then I promise I'll try and get a girl.
The boy walks in.
Where are my cards?
Cards? Salem, Bordeaux, allow me to introduce myself.
Hey, bro, you cool whoever you are. Unless you're the one that stole my cards.
Pardon me? My name is Wilson Loomis, and this is Violet, my sister.
She waves.
Okay. Guess I gotta get him back.
Violet touches his hair.
Where are my shoes?
He pushes her hand off.
Your shoes?
What's wrong with you, man? You retarded?
No, he's my brother, and I'm developmentally disabled.
That's a retard. Let me put it to you this way.
Wait a minute. No one ever speaks to Violet disrespectfully.
Salem shakes his head.
So what's happening, man? Ain't no bars on no windows.
No, and there's no alarm on the door either. And no one's paying us to keep you.
The last that I remember, I was...
There was a mix-up, Salem. See, you were supposed to go to another house with a bunch of other kids. But instead, I arranged for you to come here. So here we are. Just you and me and Violet. And the pigs.
Cops?
No. No, pigs. You know, like bacon. Yeah, you know.
He holds up a plate of food.
See? Right there, okay? See, we live on a pig farm. Yeah, now, what do you have? Apple juice or orange juice?
Yeah, hey, I'll just take coffee to go and my shoes, and I'm out of here. You can mail me my card.
He opens the door.
The thing is, you can't actually leave.
Is that so?
Yeah.
Well, who's gonna stop me? Big white boy and his local little sister. I'm older.
You can't go because I lied.
Salem raises his eyebrows.
You see, I didn't arrange for you to come here, and they wanted me to wait to tell you this. The place that you went to last night had a fire, and you didn't know the layout of the building so well, and you died. You're dead. And now you're in heaven.
Say what?
Violet briskly spoons cereal into her mouth. Now Janet and Edwina face a police officer.
Orville, before you arrived, I impersonated your secretary on the telephone and called the Federal Bureau of Investigation to report Salem Bordeaux's disappearance as a possible kidnapping. It may have been wrong to do, and I apologize.
It was wrong, Ed. It was really wrong.
Well, then I really apologize.
She sits. Orville glances from her to Janet, now at the pig farm.
So how'd you die?
Me? I was shot in a bank robbery. In the head. I was an innocent bystander.
What about you?
I ate too much and I blew up.
Will stares at her.
How come I don't get no halo or no wings or nothing?
Any halo. Well, it's, that's pretty much storybook stuff. Around here, there's, no harps, no halos.
You're my guardian angel. And you're gonna be changing the way I talk.
And you have to wash before every meal and help Will do chores and play Dolly Tea Party with me every day.
Look, Salem, heaven's a pretty complicated place, okay? And sometimes you're gonna find that things are just like Earth here, and sometimes they're not. And because you're new, you're gonna have to learn to be a little patient.
My baseball cards burning that fire.
Will nods.
Damn! I stole some of them. At least nobody else got it. So.
He glances around.
Where is everybody else?
Well.
Will looks at Violet, who shrugs.
Well, heaven's not a very crowded place, Salem.
Hey, I can dig that. Where's the other African-Americans? Where's Dr. King? I know Martin Luther King's up here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's around.
Nighttime. Inside the farmhouse, Will and Salem sit at a checkerboard. Salem wears pajamas.
This is not hell, and I am not the devil. It's your move.
Then how come I was on a pig farm wearing this? There ain't no black people nowhere. Anywhere. This was heaven for real. I could talk however I wanted, do whatever I wanted, and never have to wash nothing.
You smell.
Salem.
And how come nothing does nothing? How come things don't float and do unnatural stuff?
You mean supernatural?
Yeah.
Look, I don't know why God entrusted me with your care, but I've received instructions about you, and I have to make sure that they're carried out. Heaven is vast, big, and you won't always be staying right here on this little part of it. You might have to move around to other sections, like...
Dang, it ain't a whole lot different from where I came from.
Isn't a whole lot different. All I know is that they send me especially good people.
And I was in the wrong place for real. Because I ain't never been especially nothing. I ain't been good from the day I was born. Mama told me I was going to go to hell. If this ain't it, and that's where I'm going. I bet you they got brothers there having a lot more fun than up here on this big old fake pig farm.
He marches out.
You should have got a girl.
Violet pedals the exercise bike as Will leaves the room. Fade to black. At the Hamlin house, a man stands on the porch as children run outside. The kids look up at Edwina.
Thank you. Go play!
As the kids run off, the man approaches Edwina.
Miss McKevin? Jack Daniels, FBI.
Good name, Jack. It's my husband's name. He's stocky and balding, too. He died a year ago. Edwina McKevitt, director of Hamlin House, at your service. We're recreating outdoors today.
Ms. McKevitt, I'd like to ask you a couple of questions.
For Edwina. Ed.
Ed. I'd like to ask you a
first,
couple of
questions. First, let me say I'm terribly sorry about Janet. I spoke with your supervisor, explained, and she's perfectly willing to be interviewed by phone.
Ed, what I'd
she
like to know...
She went to her parents, I think, in Kansas. They said she has hives under her eyelids.
Janet who?
Janet Burke. The adult on duty when Salem Bordeaux disappeared. And come to think of it, she's the only other adult who's even set foot on the premises in months. Well, except for our crew. And, of course, the social worker who delivered Salem.
Hey.
Yes, sir.
Gregory said no one will marry me because of my ears.
Well, Gregory's wrong, honey. He's 7 years old. He doesn't know the first thing about marriage. If he says it again, you tell him you'll rip off his head and spit down his neck.
Jack stares at Edwina.
Shall we get busy?
As Edwina walks across the porch, the agent's confused gaze follows her. Now, inside, Jack watches It's a Wonderful Life with two boys. Jack glances at the boys, who lean their heads on their hands and stare vacantly ahead.
There they are! Bert! What do you know about this? Merry Christmas!
Edwina enters.
I never met the boy, but I hardly think he would have run away without these.
The baseball cards.
You wouldn't leave a 1955 Willie Mays behind, would you, Mr. Daniels?
Miss McKevitt. Ed. Do you like to read mysteries?
Yes, I do. Agatha Christie, Dorothy Sayers, Nero Wolfe. He's my favorite.
I appreciate all your help. And of course, the investigation is not over, but on the face of it, this doesn't appear to be a kidnapping. There's only one set of unidentifiable prints, and of course, I'm going to check this out. But I suspect they belong to Miss Burke. There's no sign of a forced entry, and the boy has a long history of running away.
The boy's name is Salem, Mr. Daniels. I'm familiar with his file. I made a Xerox copy for you. Let me tell you two things, Mr. Daniels. First, Salem Bordeaux left Hamlin House without one of the finest, albeit small, baseball card collections I've ever seen. Second, the human brain, yours, mine, or anyone else's for that matter, is a highly overrated organ. I go by my gut. And my gut tells me that in the middle of practically nowhere on a freezing cold night, Salem Bordeaux did not run away. When I make a promise, Mr. Daniels, I keep it. And I promise you, I'll prove that you're wrong.
She lowers her gaze and takes a bite of green cake. Now, outside the Loomis farmhouse, a person wearing a thick, fur-trimmed hooded coat walks across the yard. Carrying a basket, the person walks by the barn, approaches the front door of the house, and leaves the basket on the stoop. Now, in the kitchen, Violet feeds a cookie to the dog.
Charlotte, you really like these. You don't eat my cooking like this. Does everybody have one?
She looks at her dolls.
That boy Will got says bad words. And Will says for me to tell lies. So I will tell Will that I made them.
She rubs a cloth across her saddle shoe.
Since you like them so much.
Now, wearing boots, Salem walks through the barn. As a large pig rushes at him, the boy's eyes widen.
Hey, that pig! That pig! Freeze!
He backs away, then runs and leaps onto a fence.
Pig! Go on! That's so! Go on! Sail! Will! Guardian angel! Do some help!
The pig wriggles its snout near Salem's foot.
Get away from him! Shoot! Go!
Now, in the Loomis' basement, Will fiddles with an answering machine.
Dad got it a long time ago, but Mom never wanted to use it. Now, listen, Violet, I don't want Salem to know that there's a phone. It might confuse him. Okay, now, you don't have to lie about it, but just don't talk about it.
Will races upstairs. Now, at the table, Salem scowls at a jello mold.
Our father, who art possibly very nearby, maybe even as close as the next farm. Thank you for the food on this table, for the goodness in our hearts, and for the dawning of each new day that gives us a chance to become better human beings. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you so much for making this dinner, Vi. It looks great.
Better not be rare.
No, it's medium. Violet always cooks our meatloaf medium.
Good. So I can't be eating nothing that's bleeding on my plate. You need no jiggly stuff, neither.
Well, then just eat what you want.
You ain't got nothing here I want.
Well, you know, a lot of people would be thanking their lucky stars for a meal like this.
Well, I ate a lot of people. And the way I see it, my lucky stars must have hit the ground for me to end up in a place like this with you two eating food that looks like it comes from a cafeteria.
As Salem shoves his plate, Violet runs off.
Oh, that's just great, Salem.
What'd I do?
What did you do? Look, has anyone ever mentioned the golden rule to you?
Yeah, something about the way you're supposed to be.
Yeah, it's about treating other people the way you want them to treat you. It's real simple. I don't like the jiggly stuff either.
Would you just try, Salem? Would you try and go along with the program?
Will leaves the table.
Vi? Violet, where are you?
Nighttime. Violet kneels by her bed with her eyes closed.
I know it's not right, but I don't like the way he is.
As Will enters, she glances over her shoulder, then silently mouths words and leaps into bed. She pulls up the covers. Will sits nearby.
You know, Violet, you're getting to be a real baker. Those cookies you baked today were great.
She turns away from him.
You tell lies, and now I have to. My fingers hurt from being cross too much.
Vi.
I want a girl to play with.
Violet, think about it. Where am I going to get a girl?
You said I wouldn't be lonely anymore. You said Christmas wouldn't be so bad. You said Anna Bright. If you don't get me a girl, I won't play heaven with you anymore. Really won't.
Will stares at his sister, then looks away and purses his lips. Now he rushes downstairs carrying a rolled-up blanket. He kneels near Charlotte.
Okay. Now don't let anyone in. If anyone tries to leave, bark like crazy.
He ruffles the dog's fur, then picks up the blanket and walks outside. Tossing it into the back of the pickup truck, he races to the driver's door. Now, in the yard of a ramshackle farmhouse, Will wears a long white robe. Two wings made of silver tinsel stick out from his back. On his head, he wears a tinsel halo.
God, it's Will. I just want to say that I really appreciate how smooth the other night went. But Salem needs a lot more attention than I thought he would. And Violet's not really adjusting to him too well. So I'm going to need one more. And I promise this will be the last one. And I'll raise them right, and when they're old enough, I'll tell them the truth, and I'll send them on their way. All right? So please, if you would promise to help me with just this one, it would help Violet. Amen.
He tosses a stone at a window of the house. Two large dogs run towards Will. He pulls a package from under his robe. He tosses the package to the animals. Will holds one hand out between himself and the dogs. With his other hand, he tosses another stone. The window illuminates. He stares at the light shining through the curtained window. Inside, the young girl from the drugstore pulls back the curtain and gazes into the yard. Will reaches under his robe and his wings and halo light up. The girl stares wide-eyed.
Yes, come on. Yes, I hit the right window. Come on, you gotta come.
He beckons for her to come outside. She moves away from the window. Now the house's entryway lights up. Will smiles. The little girl opens the front door and slowly walks down the steps. Holding a stuffed lamb, her long dark hair hangs in front of her bowed head as she approaches. Will steps closer. He kneels, his face level with hers.
God bless you, Hazel. That's how angels say hello. Your name is Hazel, isn't it? Well, my name's Will, and I'm your guardian angel. You see, you died last night. Your appendix burst. But it didn't hurt. And I've come to take you to heaven. You can bring your friend.
She holds up the lamb.
Ba.
Ba? Oh, well, that's a nice name. Is she a dog?
As Hazel looks up, Will's lights illuminate her black and blue eye and cut lip.
Lamb.
Right.
Are you dead?
Got shot in a bank robbery.
But Mama told me I'd burn in hell.
Oh,
you know, that's a mistake that a lot of grown-ups make. But the truth is, children never go to hell. When children die, they always go to heaven. Heaven's a wonderful place, Hazel.
Smiling, he glances down toward her hand and her eyes follow. Looking up at Will, Hazel turns her wide brown eyes toward the house. Will takes her small hand in his, stands, and leads her across the yard, his silvery wings glowing behind him. Passing a fence, the pair heads into a field of tall green grass.
I want a different name.
You do?
Could my name be Princess?
Sure. How about a last name?
Nah.
Later, Will drives her in the pickup. His glowing wings and halo light up the cab's interior. As the truck rolls to a stop in front of the Loomis house, Will and Hazel gaze out the windshield, which reflects blurry dots of warm golden light. Will grins. Beside him, Hazel's eyes widen and her jaw drops. She looks over at Will, who smiles down at her. On top of the Loomis house, the word heaven arcs across the roof in brightly lit 6-foot-tall letters, and a string of lights trims the gutters. Fade to black. Morning. At the farmhouse, Violet and Hazel sleep in twin beds. Now at the Hamlin house, Janet hurries into the kitchen.
Oh, Edwina, sorry I'm so late. Just that there was a tie-up on the interstate and... Well, frankly, Edwina, I'm a little surprised you called me.
Salem's abduction wasn't your fault. Except for getting hives, I'm not sure I would have done anything differently.
Thank you.
Janet, another child's been kidnapped.
What?
Not one of ours. An 8-year-old named Hazel Olander. Della's taking me to her parents. I don't care if a meteor crashes in the parking lot. Keep the children inside.
Edwina rushes out. At the Loomis house, Violet yawns and turns over. In the other bed, Hazel sits up, watching her. Hazel's stringy dark hair frames her pale, bruised face.
Hi.
Hi.
Violet blinks and raises her brows.
I'm Violet. What happened to her face?
I live in a big house, and I fell down the stairs. But now I'm dead.
Violet smiles warmly. Now Jack Daniels visits Hazel's mother.
I don't know where he went. He took the boy.
Now that'd be Hazel's brother.
No, the butler.
What makes you think he didn't take Hazel?
He never takes her. He leaves a lot, but he never takes her.
Jack glances toward the road. A car pulls away as Edwina jogs toward the house, her purse and coattail clutched in her hands.
Mrs. Olander, Edwina McEvitt. I'm assisting Mr. Daniels. Sorry I'm late. Shall we?
Ooh. Now in the Loomis' kitchen.
And if we finish chores early, we'll have a video surprise.
Ain't got no TV in heaven, but we got tapes.
Hazel nods.
I bought Princess some clothes. They're in your room.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
He did.
The front door.
Is that God?
Shh. Sit there and don't move.
Violet and the children fix their eyes on Will as he goes to the door.
Yes.
He peeks out a curtain. A young brunette smiles at him from beneath her fur-trimmed hood. Will looks away. Salem jumps up and peeks into the foyer as Will steps outside onto the porch.
Hi, I'm Carrie Lee. I'm your new neighbor.
Will stares transfixed as she shakes his hand.
I'm still Carrie.
Oh, right. I'm Will. Wilson Loomis. How'd you get here?
My folks realize I took the tractor.
Salem tugs on Will's pant leg.
You drive a tractor?
Yeah, don't you?
Oh, excuse me.
Smiling, Will ducks inside. He grabs Salem.
Look, there's some stuff that you don't know about yet, all right? Dangerous stuff. Now, I'll explain later. Now go in the kitchen.
He steers Salem toward the kitchen, then goes outside.
That was my cousin. He's staying with us, and he's got the measles. He's real infectious right now.
I haven't had him.
I have.
Salem returns.
Don't go away. I'll be right back.
Sounds like a TV show.
Carrie grins politely as Will goes inside.
actual
that
measles.
Again. They're angels' measles. You can't see them and they don't itch.
Why would that?
Because they're very contagious.
Salem drops onto a kitchen chair.
Heather didn't like what they told you.
Okay, now I think this person is an angel, but there's a possibility that she could be a spy.
Holding Hazel in her lap, Violet gives Will a wary look. Will goes back to the porch. Now, Edwina follows Jack to his car.
Sorry, no riders allowed.
My fan belt snapped, so Del, our pharmacist, dropped me here.
What is it with you, lady?
You think because kids like you that you amuse everyone?
I'm quite certain that there are people who...
Oh, you're certain, all right. You're certain about everything.
You're some kind of an astrology nut, aren't you?
She gives him a firm stare.
Well, maybe today wasn't the right day to lie about your fan belt.
My fan belt is not the issue, nor is my interest or lack thereof in matters astrological. I'm here today because of your complete lack of finding anything relevant to what is and always has been the real issue, which is kidnapping.
There was no evidence.
And I might add that I can't imagine anybody but a Sagittarian behaving the way you do.
She gets in. Now Will walks with Carrie.
Did you get the cookies I left?
Yeah, we got them.
What, were there worms in them?
Oh, no. No, I'm sorry. They were great. My sister Violet, she ate them the first night that she came down with the measles.
She has them too?
Sure. I mean, yeah. Yeah, she does. Look, I gotta get going. Got a house full of sick kids. We don't have any folks.
Oh, yeah, I heard. I left my number in the basket.
Oh, right.
Well, I'll see ya.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Carrie pulls on her hood and walks off. Will runs home. Later, Salem watches him toss hay in the barn.
If she ain't a spy, what is she?
Well, she's an angel like you.
You're good for being dead. They got a romance in heaven.
They slap a gloved high five, then get back to work. In the basement, Violet steps toward the phone, eyeing it.
This is the Loomis residence.
Edwina calls from her office.
Thanks.
My, oh. Can you imagine this?
Violet picks up.
Hi.
Violet? Is that you?
I'm me.
Well, good. Because I baked you a lemon meringue pie, and I thought I'd stop it by in an hour or so.
You can't come over because we're going on a trip.
Edwina frowns. She stares off thoughtfully. Later, she and Jack stand at a counter in a diner.
And it was last May, or June. It was when they first moved here, anywho. I brought plum jam. And the dogs came running. He came out with a shotgun. And just took the jam. I turned to go, and the dog started out like that. He said he'd shoot him if they didn't stop. What kind of a man would shoot his own dogs?
You want to know why the dogs didn't bark the night Hazel was kidnapped?
Well, don't you?
They did. You ever know any drunks?
Oh, no. I come from a long line of teetotalers.
She hands Jack two cups and saucers.
And my personal associations have always been with people of higher moral structure.
They get a table.
Well, I come from a long line of drunks. Mom was plastered by noon, passed out by dinner, and Dad held it better so we drank more. Spent a lot of the nights enlisting my help getting the tigers out of the basement. Drunks don't hear a lot of what goes on around them. They say it's an inherited trait.
Yes, I'm afraid they do.
I'm not worried. I'm adopted.
Edwina puts down her cup.
Adopted?
They both stare at the table. Edwina fidgets, then opens her mouth to speak.
I'm certain he has nothing to do with... Jack, I'm afraid I didn't mention that he couldn't possibly have... I should have mentioned it earlier.
She fingers her cup.
His name is Wilson Loomis. He was at Hamlin House the day Salem was kidnapped. He has a key.
Jack looks away, then eyes Edwina with a half frown. Avoiding his stern gaze, Edwina pours some sugar into her cup. Now, in the Loomis' barn, Violet and Hazel have a tea party.
And you can eat all the cake you want until you get a tummy ache. And then you can throw up.
Violet makes her stuffed animals kiss, then nuzzles them against Hazel. Hazel covers her black eye. Violet watches her with a serious gaze, then shifts. She opens her mouth wide to speak.
I fell downstairs, too, when I was little.
Hazel looks up.
My mama thought that's what made my age stick, but Dr. Steve said it got stuck when I was born.
Hazel licks her cut lip.
I didn't fall down the stairs.
She glances down, then turns her soft brown eyes up at Violet.
My daddy hit me.
Furrowing her brow, Violet scrunches her lips to one side. Her mouth twists thoughtfully as she gazes at Hazel, then shrugs.
I could hug you.
She gives Hazel a hopeful smile. With a reassuring nod, Violet leans over and Hazel wraps her arms tightly around her neck. As they embrace, a worried frown flickers across Violet's face, then disappears as she smiles. Fade to black. Now in Will's room.
Something bad could happen.
I'm just going into town. Now they'll finish the video, brush their teeth, say their prayers,
and go to bed. What if a storm happens or a pig gets sick or I have a bad dream?
Nothing bad is going to happen. I'm not even going to be gone that long. Now you have the number in case of an emergency.
He brushes past her. She follows him over to his dresser.
Violet, the video's almost over.
She throws her arms around him.
You're going to see that girl.
You mean the one who really made the cookies?
Violet lets go and turns away.
Come on, she's a neighbor. It's important to be on good terms.
You like her.
I don't even know her. I'm just trying to make it so that we can keep on doing what we're doing. And that is to give those two kids a good life. Now please, be a good babysitter and put them to bed on time.
He kisses her forehead.
Come on.
Now at the Hamlin house, Edwina uses the phone.
And I was hoping to come out there and pay you two a visit and bring a friend. So I'll try again tomorrow. And bye.
As she hangs up, Jack comes over.
It's a machine. You got something?
Is the cleaning crew that wiped all the prints from the upstairs bedrooms the same crew that cleaned the file room?
Edwina nods.
I never dusted the original file for prints, and now that I know Loomis was in the file room, it'll have to be sent out. I'll express it tonight, get results in the morning.
Janet listens.
I'll check these smudges out, too.
May I?
She extends her hand, and Jack gives her the file.
I held the file the night Salem disappeared. When I realized he really was gone, I cried. Those smudges are my mascara.
Adjusting her glasses, she offers an embarrassed smile.
They'll be back home any day now.
Will and Violet are back. Violet called this afternoon, wanting to know if boils were catching.
The address?
Jack gets his coat. Edwina closes her eyes.
Rural Route 1. Good 20 miles from here. Considering the racehorse pace of the investigation so far, couldn't it possibly wait till morning?
Ed, the pace of this investigation has been set in part by your selective memory, by the fact that this place was wiped free of prints within hours of the kidnapping. The lives of children are at stake. It can't wait.
It's a half dozen miles down the dirt road. I'm going with you.
She hurries off.
Nowhere.
Now, Will and Carrie sit at a diner.
I mean, if you go to college, you'll take care of Violet.
Violet can take care of herself.
Will watches Carrie play with her soda straw.
I don't know. Things have really changed for me lately.
Carrie gazes at Will, her long dark hair pulled into a high ponytail.
I can't really imagine what it would be like not to have parents.
Will stares down at the counter.
I miss him.
With a sympathetic smile, Carrie eats a French fry.
Would you like to have a family?
Will stares at Carrie's chin.
You've got some ketchup on your chin.
She wipes it off with her hand.
That's on your sweater.
Will looks down.
Made you look.
He smiles. Now Edwina rides with Jack.
Jack and I couldn't have any children. It had something to do with him. Poor man, he felt terrible about it. And then Will was born, and we decided to adopt him.
Jack glances over at her.
It was right then that Cecil and Winnell Loomis found out something about their genetic combo that made their daughter Violet, well, in those days we called it retarded. Their doctor advised them against having any more children. They wanted so much to adopt Will.
She smiles to herself.
It's strange. Will's the only child I ever wanted for my own.
Jack glances over. Beside him, flecks of snow cling to the window.
They keep saying the snow's gonna let up. And it doesn't.
You know, raising children should be regarded as a privilege. The problem with the whole world is most people don't understand that.
Now at the farm, Violet and Hazel brush their teeth.
You can do this anytime you want.
And the brush is my very own?
Mm-hmm.
Violet gives Hazel a foamy grin in the mirror.
Don't move!
Holding her toothbrush, Violet hurries into the hall.
No!
She catches Salem.
You make sure she stays quiet!
Salem covers Hazel's mouth. Violet heads downstairs. Holding her toothbrush in her cheek, she slides along the wall, her worried gaze fixed on the front door. Behind her, the children crouch at the top of the stairs. Violet tiptoes to the front door, throws the kids a cautious look, then peeks through the curtain. A hesitant smile crosses her lips. Opening the door, she puts on a half-smile.
You're back. Welcome home. Violet, I'd like you to meet a friend of mine, Jack Daniels. Jack, I'd like you to meet Violet Loomis.
It's a pleasure to meet you.
You can't come in, because Will got the measles.
She crosses her fingers behind her back.
I too.
Oh, do you need anything?
You can't come in, because that's the rules.
Violet, dear, tell me, is there anyone else here with you? Anyone else in the house other than you and Will?
Violet gives her a sideways stare.
No.
Have any children visited you recently? Stopped by for any reason?
Crossing all her fingers, Violet slowly shakes her head.
Except for your brother, you're completely alone.
Papa on heaven.
You wouldn't be pretending, would you?
Edwina looks at Jack, then at Violet, who furrows her brow.
Maybe Will would like to meet a real FBI agent.
Upstairs, Salem and Hazel peek through the banister rails. Edwina turns to go.
Bye, honey.
She waves her gloved fingers.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Edwina and Jack leave. The children stand up. Faces them.
Will has been lying to you.
Salem glances at Hazel, who stares over the banister wide-eyed. Downstairs, Violet presses her lips and bows her head. Fade to black. Morning. Will walks into the kitchen.
Hey, where's everybody?
We're having a meeting in the barn. On account of what Violet told us about what's really happening here, man. You know how things really is. About you, me, Violet and the princess being the good angels. And about them bad angels, like them two that came last night.
Bad angels?
That's what I'm saying. We know what we're dealing with now. How they be trying to get you? How come you have to keep us so hip?
Right.
It's cool though, because for real,
We got the big man on our side.
Carrying a basket of muffins, Salem gives Will a high five.
What's something, man? On Earth, them FBI dudes always be sneaking around. Up here, they just walk right to your door. That's bold.
As he heads out the front door, Will turns away with a questioning frown. Now at the Hamlin house.
There's no answer at the house.
Will has the measles and no one's home. Let's go.
Maybe my days are mixed up. Maybe Will came the day after Salem.
Ed, the prints on Salem's file don't match anyone else's.
Violet wouldn't lie.
Edwina glances at Janet.
She's as honest as the day is long.
Well, maybe Violet didn't lie. Maybe she never saw Salem or Hazel. Maybe they're not alive.
Jack walks off. Now, in the Loomis' barn, Violet talks to Salem and Hazel.
I'm gonna go tell Will.
Her hands on her hips, Violet pops a gum bubble as she walks briskly across the barn. Will rushes in.
Violet! Violet! What went on here last night?
The bad angels came to get you.
What bad angels? Violet, there's no such thing as bad angels, and you know it. Why did you tell Salem that the FBI was in heaven?
Violet chews her gum.
This is because I saw Carrie's.
Edwina was here with some man. I lied and said you were sleeping with the measles. She said he was FBI. Honor Bright.
She splays her fingers. Her gaze shifts as Carrie steps into the barn.
You are a bad angel.
Violet.
Go away.
I'm not an angel.
You can't have Will.
Violet.
Will.
Violet.
Should I get the gun?
No.
Who's that?
It's my cousin.
Cousin.
Yes, he's adopted.
How did you die?
What?
Nothing. This is a game. It's a game that Violet made up. Now, would you guys please go play your game, and I'll be right back.
Sneering at Carrie, Violet takes the kids away.
I'm sorry. The little one's my baby cousin, and sometimes they can get carried away with this game. Could you maybe...
I just come back later.
Yeah, thanks. Maybe in a couple hours,
yeah.
I'll meet you at the rusted tractor.
Okay.
Carrie leaves. Will strides over to Violet and the kids.
Okay. She's not a bad angel, all right? But there's a possibility that she could be a spy. So I'll explain later, but we may have to go away for a little while.
We're gonna need guns.
Yeah, we're gonna need a lot more than guns. Okay, come on.
As Will and the children hurry off, Violet stays behind. Now, Edwina watches Jack change a flat tire.
Jeez. I just hope the other agents don't get there before we do.
What other agents?
Ed, you said it yourself. The kid hasn't had a very good year. Both parents died. He's legal guardian to a sister who's going to be dependent on him for the rest of his life. He lives out in the middle of nowhere. It's Christmas. My line of work, Christmas, is a very weird season. If he's the guy we're looking for, my gut tells me he is. I'm not going to be too thrilled about a little visit. Calling for backup is standard procedure.
Jack gets into the car.
Wait!
Edwina runs to the passenger side.
Wait!
At the farm, Will sprints up the driveway toward his father's camper. He stops, and Salem hands him a cooler. Will loads it into the back as Violet comes outside with Hazel and Charlotte.
Did you ditch the truck?
Yeah. You okay?
Yeah. Papa said not to drive the camper.
I know, just this once, but Charlotte can't go.
Then I'm not going.
All right. Charlotte and the girls in the camper, Salem, you're up front with me.
Will we be home for Christmas?
Get in the camper.
As he runs into the house, Violet lifts Hazel into the back of the camper, then climbs in herself. Salem shuts the door. Later, Will jogs along a line of pine trees toward a rusted tractor. Pulling himself up onto the machine, he tucks a note between two metal seams, then hops down and jogs away. Now Carrie strolls beneath the pines carrying a paper bag.
I know I'm early, but my dad just shot these ducks, so...
She rolls her eyes.
Sadie, your cousin's like duck.
Now, Will drives the camper across a desolate intersection. Inside the cab, Salem sits curled up in a passenger side footwell. Stealing a glance at Will, he reaches for a small hunting rifle and smiles. Will looks over.
What's that for?
It's all we got.
Yeah, well, put it under the seat.
Salem puts the gun back, then rolls his eyes. In the back of the camper, Hazel stares out the window.
Where's the heaven sign?
Violet glances around.
Maybe going to see Mama and Papa.
Back at the farm, Carrie strolls up to the tractor.
He's our super fresh doc.
Her cool smile fades as she spots the note. Putting the bag down, she grabs the envelope marked Carrie and opens it. She unfolds the note and reads it. On the road, Will notices two cars drive past in the other direction, both with flashing red lights on their dashboards. He glances down at Salem.
Salem, there's something that you need to know.
You can say that again.
Will watches the road. He looks down at Salem.
This isn't heaven.
Salem blinks and nods his head.
It's cool. But you ain't the devil, and this ain't hell.
Oh, no. See, this is... Well, it's just normal planet Earth, and... No, I'm not the devil. And the truth is, I'm not even an angel. But the FBI, the real FBI, is chasing us.
Uh-huh. And, who might you be?
Will looks away. Now, at the Loomis house, Edwina peeks into the girl's bedroom.
Anything up there?
I'm looking.
She walks down the hall and goes into the boys' room. The first twin bed is neatly made with a crocheted afghan folded at the foot. Posters of airplanes hang on the walls and sloped ceiling. Edwina wanders over to the window and peers outside. Turning around, she goes to the bed, straightens the afghan, and brushes the wrinkles in the bedspread away with her hand. Kneeling between the twin beds, she picks up a baseball glove, then smiles at a photo on the nightstand. Turning to the second bed, her smile fades. She pulls off one of her black gloves and carefully plucks something off the white pillowcase. Later, she comes downstairs. An FBI agent dusts the Newell post for fingerprints. Jack walks up. Hey,
Jerry, I'm just gonna... Any reason why they keep their telephone and answering machine locked in the basement?
Found us outside, Chief. I'm gonna check it out.
The duck bed.
Jack?
He turns around. Noticing the hair in Edwina's hand, he takes it from her.
I don't know, this looks strange.
Does Will have hair like that?
Edwina shakes her head. Jack joins the other agents in the living room. Back in the camper.
Hey! You're a kidnapper!
I saved your life. I kept you from being sent to a horrible place. And I tried to give you a home and a family. And I screwed up. But I am not a kidnapper.
Salem's eyes narrow.
I knew this wouldn't happen. Didn't say nothing because you took it so serious. I don't even believe in no God. I used to pray all the time. I pray for a car. I pray for that leather jacket I was telling you about with the fur collar. Damn, I even prayed for little stuff like donuts. And you know God never once answered my prayers.
Of course God answered your prayers, Salem. He said no.
Salem glances away, then looks up at Will. Will turns his eyes toward the road. Now at the Loomis house.
We've got this area covered here, and over here at Highway 71 and 200.
Got a match on your prints, Jack.
An agent hands Jack a piece of paper. As he reads it, Edwina comes over.
I can't tell you how wrong this is.
Jack sighs.
Will isn't like this. Something must be terribly wrong.
Will you get off it, Edwina? Good. He's a sickie. He kidnaps children. We've heard of guys like him. He has friends. He's nice to his neighbors. Maybe even has a dog. Then one day they find weird pictures in the basement of bodies buried in the backyard, but they don't find him. No, he's killed himself after he's opened fire on a schoolyard full of children.
Chief, we found the silver and black pickup. It's wrecked about a mile from here. No plates, no bodies, no blood.
Is that his truck?
Her brow knit in a worried frown, Edwina gives him a slight nod.
Yeah, Bill, we're finished up here. I'm just...
Now in a motel parking lot. Salem closes the door on the back of the camper, then runs into one of the motel rooms. Charlotte lies in the entryway. Carrying some papers, Salem walks past the girls and goes over to Will.
Look, I called the closest station and I can walk there in the morning.
It's kind of hokey to run out of gas when you're running from the law.
Will nods.
What's that?
No, it's in your vehicle.
Will takes a small leather pouch from him and pulls out a jackknife.
It's my dad's knife.
He reaches into the pouch and takes out an envelope addressed to Wilson Loomis. Taking a deep breath, he quickly opens the envelope and unfolds the letter inside. His eyes move to the bottom of the second page, then widen. His hands drop to his lap.
My dad said I could have this when I was older. This is a letter from my mother.
Your mom in jail too?
Will stares at the letter.
This letter's from my birth mother.
He casts his gaze toward the ceiling.
I was adopted.
Salem glances away, chewing his lip.
It's cool.
Will jumps up.
Don't.
Salem races him to the door, but Will grabs him and hides him behind a wall.
Who is it?
Well, who else did you call?
Will opens the door and ushers Carrie inside. Violet starts to flail. As Will leads Carrie down the hall, Violet lashes out at her.
Violet!
Will grabs Violet, wraps his arms around her, and guides her to the floor.
Okay.
Now at the Loomis house.
This guy's gonna tick me off if I miss the weekend with my kid.
He won't miss his weekend.
Edgar comes in.
He'll find him in time.
She glances at Jack.
Driving a two-tone brown and gold pickup with a cream-colored camper. His father always kept it in the back barn. It's not there.
I'll get an APB on it right away, Chief.
Hey, get that Sheriff Dixon a call, too, will you?
Yeah, I'll get on it right away.
In the motel bathtub, Salem sleeps in Carrie's lap.
I just hope no one followed you.
Will leans against the side of the tub. He drops his head.
Well?
Yeah.
Carrie twists the lock of Salem's dark, curly hair.
Why did you do this?
Will looks up. His eyes settle in a thoughtful gaze.
For Salem and Princess. And I guess for me and Vi. I guess to have a family. I really wanted a family.
He blinks, then slowly lowers his head. Fade to black. In the motel room, Violet lies asleep in a twin bed with Charlotte stretched out beside her. In the next bed, Hazel sleeps curled up with her stuffed lamb. A thin shaft of light spills from the bathroom door. Inside, Carrie holds the letter, with Salem still asleep in her lap. Will sits against the tub, his back to her.
Maybe it shouldn't happen like this. I don't really know you that well.
Will looks over his shoulder at her, and she reads the letter.
Dear little boy, my name is Evelyn Millicent Kent. And I'm your mama.
Carrie's eyes well with tears. Will gives her a pleading gaze.
Please.
Their eyes linger on one another. Then Carrie reads the letter.
Your daddy's name is Jared H. Baring. He used to live a few miles from the Hamlin house, which has been my home for as long as I can remember.
Agents pull up outside.
Jared and me got to be friends, and one night we tried to be grown-ups, but I guess it did not work too good. Because I got pregnant, and Jared's folks sent him to a school like the army. Jared said he would marry me and raise you, but his mama and daddy said no, because I'm only 13, and I am blind.
Will exhales.
For the first time, I am glad I'm blind. Other girls here have had babies, and they tell me that once they see them, they can't part with them. I never saw you, and of course I never will. But I can tell you that having you in my belly, turning and kicking, and even having the hiccups, was the very best feeling I have ever had or expect to have for my whole life long.
A tear runs down her cheek.
I wish more than anything I could take care of you. But I need help even to do the simple things. Mrs. McKevitt, she's a lady who runs the orphanage and is writing these words down for me. She told me you went to a real special home. And you already have a sister. Giving you up
is a lot harder than being blind. I'll love you forever. Your mama.
Frowning, Will blinks back tears. Carrie faces him.
Wilson Loomis, you are surrounded by police and agents of the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Outside, Jack uses a bullhorn.
And your weapon. We know you are holding hostages. Release them at once and come out with your hands over your head.
Hazel opens the bathroom door. Will, Carrie, and Salem look up with a start.
Ain't no hostage.
Mr. Loomis, if you do not release your hostages and exit the building within 3 minutes, we will remove you by force.
Several police cars sit in front of the motel. Inside.
And this isn't heaven, and there's no good angels and no bad angels, and no one here is dead. I'm just a person like you, except I thought that I could make the world a better place. But I guess I was trying to be grown up too soon, because my plan didn't work out so well.
He glances at Salem and Carrie, then faces Hazel.
You have 2 minutes, Mr. Loomis.
Who's Mr. Loomis?
That's me, Princess. You see, I tried to make us a new family. But I didn't ask anyone's permission, and now some people are very mad at me. But no one's mad at you, okay? You didn't do anything wrong.
You have 1 minute, Mr. Loomis.
I'm sorry. Now listen, you stay right here with Carrie until someone comes to get you.
Hazel nods. Violet fixes her gaze on Will.
Everything's gonna be just fine. Honor bright.
He splays his fingers with his palms facing out. Standing, he walks to the door. As he peers out through the outer storm door, an officer raises his gun. Edwina covers her mouth with her hand as Will slowly steps outside. He raises his left arm, then his right. Jack stares as Will steps forward. The officer's aim stays fixed on Will as he moves closer, his arms raised. Behind him, the motel room door opens. One by one, Hazel, Salem, Violet, and Carrie walk outside. Charlotte scampers out behind them. As Will stands with his hands raised, Hazel leans her head against him. He rests his hand on her head.
It was a good family. Gonna have to take us like that.
Holding her stuffed lamb tightly, Hazel raises her arms. Next to her, Salem does the same. Edwina and Jack stare. Next to Salem, Carrie nudges Violet, who shrugs. Carrie lifts her arms. Violet raises hers. Jack, Edwina, and the officers rush out from behind the police cars. As one officer leads Carrie away, Jack handcuffs Will. Now in a judge's office.
What I don't like about being a judge is having the responsibility of punishing people who've broken the law, not so much because of their criminal nature, but because of a simple lack of maturity. However, Wilson Joseph Loomis, you have committed a criminal offense. And to pay for your crime, you will serve a jail sentence of not less than...
Excuse me, Judge, for one bit. I was just wanting to say, see, I come from a neighborhood where lots of people be breaking the law. And I know some real criminals. This guy, he's kind of weird and goofy. You know what I mean. But he ain't no criminal. Will is, well, he's a proper homeboy.
Will smiles.
You know what I'm saying, Judge?
The judge avoids Salem's gaze. Hazel raises her hand.
Yes?
As Salem sits, Hazel stands up.
I think Salem is wrong.
Go ahead.
I don't think Will is so weird. He has a really nice house.
She sits down.
Thank you.
She stands again.
And Violet? She was my sister there. I liked that.
Violet smiles. Will smiles at his sister as Hazel sits down.
Violet, is there anything you'd like to say?
Mom, Papa,
are dead. And we cannot visit them.
See, that's the thing. Will took us in. He made us a family.
Yes, I understand that, Salem.
Judge.
Yes.
I was wanting to know, have you ever had someone be really nice to you, no matter what you said, no matter what you did?
He eyes the judge intently. Hazel, Violet, Edwina, and Jack do the same. The judge averts his gaze and removes his glasses. Putting his hands to his face, he rubs his eyes. Now we see Violet run through her snow-covered yard.
Wilson, Joseph Loomis, it is my belief that for you and the children who've come to love you, prison would not serve you well. So as payment for your crime, you will open the doors of your home to those less fortunate than you and serve them as friend, workmate, and teacher for a total of 8,760 hours or 365 days.
Now Salem runs outside.
Forward. Your home will be known as the Cecil Loomis Home for Children.
Now Violet leads Hazel outside.
The court will be responsible for locating the young people who will eventually live at the Loomis house, not you. During this period of service, you will be under the supervision of Edwina Rose McEvan.
Now in the Loomis' barn, Will and Salem sit on a pile of hay near a Christmas tree. As Violet and Hazel join them, Edwina runs in and they gaze at a litter of piglets.
This morning. That's the first Christmas pig.
They smile at a black and white piglet.
What's his name?
I know. Heaven.
Perfect. It's a great name.
If I was a pig, I'd go and die.
Will smiles as the piglets tumble over each other in the pen. He gazes at the children, who smile and point excitedly at the pigs. He grins and faces the pen. Wide-eyed, Hazel and Salem watch the piglets run around their mother, then tumble over each other as they nurse. Violet smiles at her brother.
You make a good papa.
Thank you.
He grins. Violet smiles broadly. View pans away from the nursing piglets to Will, Violet, Edwina, and the children sitting together on the hay. Fade to black.